Well, yeah, no, it's a man. Yeah, over I don't know. Before.
Guys, you ready? Good evening, everyone. I want to welcome you to tonight's March 25th, 2024 regular city council meeting. Actually, March 25th. Thought I had the day wrong. Y'all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tonight, I'd like to go right to our citizen input, item 1D on our agenda. Do we have any citizens present? We do. Jake Mendez Jr. And then I'll have Ruth go. So Jake, do you want to start us off?
Is this on? Or... Okay.
Yes, I'm Jake Mendez Jr. I'm a civil rights activist and an ACLU Washington member. I just want to critique this police stop in particular that everyone's aware of, and the city council as well for the record, and the police chief assistant as well. Now on, let's see what's the date here. On March 18th, 2024, about 7:20 a.m., dispatch was advised of a suspicious, that's all it says, at 7th Avenue and East Main Street. Dispatch advised of a male wearing a black jacket and blue jeans was in the roadway attempting to flag a complainant down. Dispatch advised of a male is possibly intoxicated and left towards the irrigation district building. I would read the rest, but I'm pretty sure it's already out there, just to save some time. My only question is, based on what I was wearing, at what point do officers are going to be take accountable for the description that that's been passed to them? At that day, I was wearing black sweatpants, black t-shirt with red lettering, and a black sweatshirt underneath. Now, just to paint a visual picture to get the full context of my vision of what happened, that around that time, I was passing in front of the Salon Studio 7, exiting onto the sidewalk, heading towards the crosswalk in between the Chambers of Building and the Chamber of Commerce building and that other building next to it. Now, at that moment that I was exiting, that's when I first encountered Officer C. Garza, C. as in Charles, Garza III, badge number 112. That was my first visual interaction that I've seen that officer make a turn heading south on 7th past the Asian restaurant. Now, figured it's just a regular routine, just driving around, just patrolling the area, which is normal, I thought. Well, came to my suspicion is as to why this officer circled around, noticed me as he came around the Chambers of Commerce building and stopped as I was walking by that patrol, his patrol vehicle. I didn't appear to be intoxicated, obviously. I wasn't the person that allegedly this person reported, someone wearing a black jacket and blue jeans. Okay, let me just put that out there for the record. As I was crossing, I went ahead past the Asian restaurant, came up on Main and Desmona heading north. Now at that point, I figured, okay, why is this officer circling around? And I noticed as he was approaching me, I grabbed my camera out because I figured, okay, this is not right. Something's wrong here. I was just concerned as to why this officer would approach me anyways. I figured, okay, I'll get my camera out. The interaction was just civil. I wasn't hostile. I didn't raise my voice. I was very gentle, very calm with the officer. Said, how's it going? The first thing that came out of his mouth asked if I was lost. Apparently not. The second thing that came out of his mouth was that he got a report of someone in all black, quote unquote, of all black waving someone down. And my response was, I wasn't waving anyone, you know, like, okay, so even if I was, what reason is for that to stop me? What have I done to articulate some kind of crime or some violation for him to stop me anyways? So in this report, which I will give him credit, is that he wanted to make sure that it wasn't me. Now that line right there, you could have conveyed that to me. This way I could understand that I wasn't someone that he was looking for. But he made it to seem as if someone in all black, obviously that was what I was wearing, to make it seem as if this was the person that he quote unquote reported seeing someone waving someone down. Hours later or the next day, then he draws up this report. And this is his narrative as to what he got from someone wearing a black jacket and blue jeans. Even with that description, he wasn't honest enough to tell me that as well. So how am I going to trust our police officer, just this one in particular? I'm not saying all of them are like that. But this one particular officer wasn't honest with me. He wasn't truthful to me as I was honest with him. As I stated on my camera, I was just walking by. I wasn't waving at anyone. I was like, waving at who? Well, whoever's driving by. And who's they? Well, just whoever reported. Well, okay then. So like, obviously I wasn't waving at anyone. So he determined that later, you know, to be that. And the surprising thing is that when I got this report, I recorded my interaction with police chief. To disagreeing of this, whether if he agreed or disagreed, that's fine. That's his own opinion. However, the thing is, I gotta be honest though with the dispatch of what they rely on information. There's got to be more questions when they're being reported by someone, seeing someone in distress, having a medical issue, whatever the case may be, if they may be intoxicated or not. Was there any facial hair? Did he have a mustache, goatee, a beard? Was he wearing a ball cap, ski cap? What lettering were the clothing? Did it have any text on it, pictures, images? Those are the crucial information that could have helped this officer narrow down. Apparently, this suspect that, or this alleged person that was waving someone down appeared to be intoxicated out on the street. Now, the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because I got to criticize the policing. What I'm not surprised is I didn't get any apologies from the mistaken identity of you know, singling me out. I just happened to be out there Monday morning, minding my business on my way home. This officer just happens to stop me anyways, just because I happen to be out there. So if I were to report a vehicle, a white Ford Taurus, whatever, are they gonna, a 94 Ford Taurus to be exact, are they gonna stop a black Ford Taurus because it just happens to be a Ford Taurus of a 94 to be out there that Monday morning? No, I have to go by what to rely on from the dispatch to the officer. It didn't pass it on like 10 other people to get that information twisted. It's the complainant, the dispatch officer. Where in that part it got twisted that they disregarded the person in blue jeans, but the officer went after me anyways because I was wearing black sweatpants. Now that doesn't match a description of what they're dispatched to. That's my only criticism. You know, like I said, when I recorded the interaction with police chief, I did not get an apology. I didn't say, look, we're sorry, you're the wrong person, none of that. And that's the reason why I'm here today. Because I want this to be aware that, you know, we got to hold our officers up the utmost professional business that they can. Hold their accountability for their actions. Not everyone has the courage to speak up, but I do. And I'm right here today on behalf of you and all the officers to have your body cameras on. Show some transparency for once. That's what you got these body cameras for. These grants, issues, funds to be issued to utilize them.
Hey, Jake, lower your voice.
To utilize and apologize.
Well, your 5 minutes is up a couple of minutes.
Thank you.
That's all I wrap it up?
Yeah. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Bruce Sawyer, you had some things you wanted to comment.
Sawyer, Buckhead, East Animal Street. I've come before City Council.
I've come before the City Council before regarding trash pickup. This is the second time this year that my trash has not been picked up. The first time this year, I was given an apology by the sanitation engineer, and it was picked up the following week. I have asked, when my trash is not picked up, of the City Council to reimburse me for those days that my trash is not picked up, that wasn't agreeable to the city. So I'd like the City Council to come up with some resolution, because it was a real inconvenience this past weekend not having my trash can. It changed my plans. So that's all.
Ms. Sawyer, is it okay if I respond?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I apologize to Union Service. There's no excuse. It's just not. I wasn't here. I'm your normal trash man. I wasn't here this week. And generally what happens when somebody gets missed, there's a distraction. I did miss you the first time. There was a distraction up in an alley, and that's why you got missed. I don't know what happened. There was, like I said, there was a substitute. But I just want you to know, I pick up almost 300,000 of those a year. And occasionally they do get missed, and I do apologize. I will take care of you tomorrow. Did you call in to Bonnie?
No.
Best thing to do.
She tells me there's nothing she can do. She can just let Consolidated know. And that to me is, now I'm almost to Friday again, and I'm not going to generate that much trash because I just don't generate that much trash. I needed an empty barrel this past weekend, and that was my last full weekend. So it'll be 8 months before I can do a big project.
So the best thing to do is give the city a call. And generally, I'm out, like on Fridays, I'm generally out till 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
I don't know until 4 o'clock, and you're not out after that time. The city.
A lot of
won't.
Times I am. And most of the time, Bonnie will call me. Most of the time, if somebody calls in and says they forgot, she calls into the office, and then the office calls me immediately, and I can take care of it.
She's not available after 4 o'clock.
It works till
like,
5.
Like I said, I do apologize.
I had any answers after that time, but I'll continue to try.
Like I said, I do apologize, and there is no excuse, but reality does happen. And like I said, there's no excuse for it, but it does happen. And I try and get that taken care of. You know, like I said, I pick up 300,000 of those a year. And if I miss 20 a year, it's usually surprising to miss that many.
Well, I don't want to be part of that 20.
No, it's just, but I'll take care of you tomorrow.
And if Bonnie doesn't answer or is not available, I bet you anybody in the city hall you can talk to and let them know, and they can get Consolidated's number and get a hold of the office.
Well, I don't mind calling Consolidated directly, but they don't seem to answer either. So I've done my due diligence, and so I'm just asking for there to be a resolution to it.
Is there anybody else? Anybody online? No? Okay. If not, I'll move to item 1E, roll call. And tonight, all members are present. Angel, can you confirm your presence tonight via Zoom?
I am here.
Okay, thank you. And Daryl, didn't Daryl ask to be excused tonight? I think he told me after the last meeting. So, yeah, so could we entertain him? I'd entertain a motion to excuse Daryl Barnes from our council meeting.
I'll make a motion to excuse Daryl Barnes.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
That was
fast. Yeah, he's agreeing with it. Motion carried. Let's move to the approval of our agenda tonight.
I'll make the motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'll move to the consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to our current business. And our first item, 4A, is the fourth quarter report from Angela Kutsk. And Angela, certainly appreciate you coming tonight. I think we have your presentation on your PowerPoint presentation. If you would bring that up, please, Spencer.
Fourth quarter and then also the first quarter, which is due April 1st.
Okay.
Is that okay if I do that? I'll make sure that that's fourth quarter and then I'll send it on.
The one that I sent you, if that's okay, or if that doesn't work, I can just go through what I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's quite a bit of reading material there that I don't know if you want me to read through it all, or do you want me to just summarize the material? Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'd be happy to answer questions along the way. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Angela Kutsk. I'm the program director at the Lighthouse Community Center. I started in July and then continued full force in August when the students arrived and have been going since. While they're getting that set up, I wanted to see for the fourth quarter, we can, I don't know how you want to handle this. If you wanted me to go through each quarter individually or just kind of summarize both quarters, a lot of it has information that started fourth quarter and is continuing on into the first quarter. And so I could maybe start, give a little bit of background on the fourth quarter and then continue it into the first quarter, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you have questions as we're going through it, please feel free to ask.
So why don't you give us a summary of the fourth quarter, what your experiences were and what your observations were, Angela?
Okay, sure. So the fourth quarter, a lot of that was making connections with our organizations here in Othello and then also Grant and Adams County in general. Part of my position is is twofold. One is meeting the needs of our youth and trying to figure out ways to reach them and encourage them in their economic growth and development, and then also extending that to adults. Another part is as the city, and when I had presented my goals, it was about trying to fill in the gaps that I've noticed. And as I've been meeting in more organization with more organizations, I'm realizing that there are a lot of organizations who are doing great work, but they don't know what each other is doing. And so as you'll see in continuing into the first quarter, a lot of what I've been doing is within the meetings of meeting with these different organizations is figuring out who's doing what, so that when I put into place, and as we put into place what's going on at the Lighthouse Center, we're not redundant. And if someone else is already doing something, that we capitalize on that. And so as I go through it, I think you'll start to see where we tried to bring in people who were already doing things and then making that accessible to people at the community center. So as just with the, you can go ahead and advance that to the next one. A lot of what I, and I'm going to share a little bit more on this asset-based community development plan that I've been introduced to in just a little bit, but just reading that real quick, it is the capacities of local people and their associations that build powerful communities. What can we do with what we already have to get what we need? A lot of my time was spent with RDI and Rural Development Initiatives and Elevate Othello and the leadership sessions. And what we focused on in those two groups, because there were two separate groups that met, was really trying to figure out how to make some kind of a community center project. And that was, there were two goals, community center project and then also in enhancing the communication in Othello. And so those committees would get together quite often, and towards the last few months, we were getting together about almost weekly, trying to come up with a proposal to bring out the community center project. What I really like about this model, and I'll share a little bit more about it later, but it really focuses on utilizing what we already have and enhancing that and building that up. So go ahead and go to the next slide. Part of what I've done with the after-school programs, you can notice well, over the fourth quarter and then the first quarter, is continuing with our Mentor Match program, which is our teen entrepreneurs. We meet scheduled first and third Mondays as a class and at night, and then they meet with me individually as they need to. These are students who have come up with an idea to create a business of their own. So far we have the businesses, they've launched, a lot of them have launched or are in the process of launching. One is a landscaping business. Another one is creating metal roses, where she actually takes metal and welds it together and creates these beautiful roses. Another one is a bakery, and they're baking good items that a lot of times what they focus on the different holidays. And so for Valentine's Day, they sold chocolate covered strawberries. And then, oh, there's another one who's done jewelry making. So when I meet with them, what I'm working on is helping them to develop marketing skills. And then we also talk about time management and just different business strategies that they need to come in and be thinking of as they're trying to create their and roll out their own business. The students also this last quarter prepared to attend a teen summit. If you notice the picture over in the far left, Stacy Green, she's based out of Eastern Oregon. She's the founder of it, and she had a group, and she made it possible for us to come together for a teen summit in Walla Walla earlier this month. The students had to present their idea. The first part of the morning was they took a personality test, and she went over with them their personalities and the strengths and weaknesses, and then also went over how to get along with other people with different personalities. And then in the afternoon, she brought some the adults in the top left are the panelists. They are local entrepreneurs in Walla Walla who the students had to present their businesses. It reminds me a lot about like Shark Tank, where you're presenting your business and then they would critique and give recommendations. And it wasn't as brutal as Shark Tank, but they were very helpful in giving them some advice. Overall, I would say this teen summit with these students that were able to attend, it was on a school day, so they had to get excused. We had a couple who weren't able to go, understandably. But the ones who were able to go are students who probably don't necessarily feel comfortable giving presentations. And so they had to get up in front of adults and present. You'll notice most of them were, I asked them to dress up, most are dressed nicely, so most of them did. I had one girl text me in the morning and said, "Miss, what happens if I only have jeans?" And I said, "Come, we'll figure it out, it's okay." But I really wanted to encourage them about the professionalism. They gave their presentations. One girl, the one that makes metal roses, she took extras and actually made some money that afternoon by selling them to people who wanted to buy them. They were really a good, nice product. Earlier in the year, those other pictures are reference to guest speakers or field trips that we've taken. I don't have a picture up there. We just recently went to Classic Grilling, and Tim and Bertie Foe met with the students and explained to them their journey of getting to where they're at. One of the key things that I liked that they encouraged them was that it was a slow process, but that they were diligent in trying to do it with little to no debt. And so I think it helped the students to understand that you don't have to start off big and you don't want to go into debt. You want to make sure that you, they did a really good job of helping them understand that process. Up in the top left, we had Janice Baginski come. She was a guest speaker, and she helped focus on marketing strategies. And then we also met with Melody at Desert Rose, and she gave a tour and also helped explain the process that she's gone through and the ups and downs of owning your own business. Then we met with Wino and his team. They were gracious enough to sit with us and talked about, Wino explained about his journey of jobs and where he's at now. And then they also, which I thought was kind of neat, they were able to talk to the kids about purchasing a home and that process. So it was kind of a two for one. I think that was great information. Overall, we're going to continue this program into April, and then we'll end it with a celebration banquet, which I would invite you all to attend. If you ended up attending, I would ask the students to maybe present. So maybe that's something that we can continue to talk about. Or if you want to have them come and do presentation to you here, we can arrange for that too. But I am pretty proud of them. They're students who I would say aren't your typical straight A students, but there are students who think outside the box and aren't afraid to take a risk. And that's, I think, the entrepreneur spirit. And so I'm proud of them. A lot of times they'll come and visit me after school and we'll sit down and talk about where they're at and what they need to do next. Go ahead and go to the next one. Some other after school activities that we've done over the last couple of quarters, we've continued doing painting classes for the youth. We bring in canvases and then supplies. This has been a favorite. We had one this afternoon, actually, and it's always a different group because of sports and availability, but they're just so excited to have the materials to paint with. And one girl today was, you could tell she was, she's an anxious person. And she kept saying over and over again, I'm so glad you do this. And so I really needed this to do today. And just to see them relax. I try to bring in things where when the students come over, either before school, after school, or during lunch, I'll bring in the adult color pages. I don't know if you've seen those with colored pencils. Those are a big hit with the students. They it's just calming. They just can kind of escape somewhere else besides their phone. And so it's kind of a nice thing to see. So we'll be continuing those painting classes also. One of the other things that I've participated in this last quarter has been the Girls Circle, and that's through the Adams County Juvenile Services. I am leading currently six girls who are on probation, and we meet once a week. We're going through curriculum that's set up by the Girls Circle, and right now it's mind, body, and soul, and so we're looking at their whole being and talking about how they need to be healthy to be making healthy choices. That's been very eye-opening but fun. They have been participating, which has been nice. They're we're about halfway through the time of meeting together. I did a hair care project with a student who approached me probably the middle of the fall last year. And she had an assignment for one of her English classes, and it was a group project. And all they really had to do was plan with someone in the community a project. Well, the trimester ended. She didn't have the class anymore. And what she wanted to do was they were focusing on collecting hair care products for, and they had connected with a teacher at Wahida. So that's the school that they chose. So she and I would meet and try to figure out how to collect hair care products, maybe how to raise money. And I really focused on letting it be student led. And I was just there kind of guiding her and giving her ideas and then providing the facilities and how to do it. We ended up, the class ended, but she continued to want to carry it out, which I thought was very noble of her. And so we continued to meet and we ended up having a game night the first of the year and then collected money. And she took the money and went and purchased products at Walmart. And then we delivered. We also coupled up with, partnered with FBLA, and they were the ones who came and helped decorate for the game night and served popcorn, and they were an instrumental group in helping us carry it out. And then we ended up delivering it to Wahidas, to the school nurse, for her to disperse. Some of the things with education related to education and job growth, we continue to have our Empowered class, which is a religious release class. Right now, during the first and second, we had four students. But the students who sign up for that class sign up for it like in February of the year before, which I wasn't a part of. So I've really tried to push during registration this last year. So I'm interested to see what the numbers will be. Hopefully it'll be more students who will come over. They don't get a credit for the class, so that's a big deterrent for some students. But the students who came over, we would meet in the morning. CBHA Teen Health Fair. I was a part of the CBHA Health Fair at OHS recently. I brought in STCU budgeting seminar, and that was more of a webinar. And I worked with someone to try to promote that, and helped facilitate that webinar. EWU, I had a financial aid night in January where we had a representative from Eastern come in. The financial aid process is totally different than it's ever been. In fact, they're still trying to work out some wrinkles. So I had her come in and help some parents and students kind of understand maybe they hadn't gone through that application process or had questions. And so they were very helpful in providing information. The CBHA healthcare team came in last month and had a table set up with information on eating well. Northwest Partnership Program is through Northwest Washington, our Northwest University in Kirkland. And it's the program that I mentioned last time that we're going to start bringing in remote classes for people. And that doesn't necessarily need to be students. In fact, it'd be young adults or adults who want to pursue an further education. And there would be online classes. I went to a conference in January. We'll start putting together enrollment in April and for the fall semester. And what that program looks like, just to kind of give you an idea, it's remote, and I would be a facilitator with students who sign up for it and help them with any technical things that they have that need to be addressed, kind of check in with them once a week, and then they're able to take the classes on their own. So I'm kind of their point of connection between the university. All right. With the community, as I mentioned before, I met with Elevate Othello, RDI, Elevate Othello in the leadership sessions. I was heavily involved with those. And like I said, there were two main goals. One is to come up with some kind of community center project. Just a little glimpse of that. We don't have it totally finalized because we haven't heard. I had to put together a grant, and I met with a committee of people who were interested in that based on who started attending Elevate Othello. And so we met as a committee pretty much weekly at nights, thinking of ways we could carry out that community center project. The catch on that was that it was a certain amount of money that had to be spent within a certain time period. And so it's not something really ongoing, although I think that what we determined was to try to create something that could lead to something ongoing. The thing that we are hoping to carry out is something similar to community schools. And we've met a lot with, corresponded a lot with the school district, who was actually instrumental in running that before COVID, and then COVID hit and that kind of died out, and that haven't picked that back up again. So we're looking at that model, that same model where people come in and give classes, and they could either be at the lighthouse or wherever the facilities are needed. So if it's something with welding, the school district, we've had pretty good responses in terms of working together. They're willing to let us use, you know, if facilities or help us market and that sort of thing. So I have a meeting this week with someone from RDI who is going to hopefully give me some insight on how to progress further. We're waiting to see what that dollar amount will be to determine how big we can go. But our goal is to try to roll something out for the fall. I was a part of the Faith and Community event that was held here at the football fields and served with that. I've been a part of threat assessment meetings with the school district. And those are meetings where students, they're trying to determine what's the best route for each student based on whatever offense they committed, and trying to figure out how to best serve them, and then also the places that they are involved in. LPA is something, local partnering agencies, and that was held in Moses Lake. I have another meeting scheduled in April where I'll meet with them, and this is the part that I was talking about that I think will be instrumental and hopefully bring into Othello. It was done quite a bit in Grant County before COVID and then stopped, and now they're starting it back up again. But what it is is agencies coming together and getting to know what each other is doing so that when they have something that they need to refer out to, they know who to refer people to. And I just don't, I think that we kind of know what some people are doing if you're involved in it, but if you're not, a lot of people don't know what each agency is doing. And so I would like to bring something like LPA to Othello. I'll go to another meeting and see if it's something that we can do. One of the last events I wasn't able to do because I was speaking at McFarland, the career day, but they had a speaker come in to Big Bend and had all the agencies come and listen. And then another thing that I really liked, they got a van and they filled it up with people from each of, one from each different organization. So like maybe the health department, someone from DSA, you know, just different juvenile, someone from each, a representative from each organization. And they would go to those places and visit like for like 10 minutes. And that person would give like a short speech on, this is what we do here. These are the services we provide, answer any questions. And then they'd get in the van, go to the next place. So it was just kind of a quick snapshot. And I think there's some something to be said about being physically in that building and seeing what's going on and being able to then refer someone to that. So I really liked their model and their way of doing it. Emily from SkillSource is heavily leading that. The library literacy program, we have Mid-Columbia libraries coming in and using our facilities on Tuesday nights. And so we're there Tuesday helping them carry out their program. Integrated healthcare services I've been bringing in during lunch times. They've been coming in at least once a month with a table of information. This next month will be in educating on vaping and the effects of that. And they're excited because they got new models. And so I think anytime you can get information to these students and make a connection with them is important. Okay, so looking ahead, we met as a Lighthouse board, and the board hadn't met for, I think, a couple of years, so at least before COVID. So I did organize a Lighthouse board meeting, and we met with a great start of a board. Also with continued partnerships with the people that I've mentioned, I'm looking forward to continuing that. And that's that piece where I was saying, I don't want to try to reinvent something if it's already taking place. I want to help bring what they're doing in and see and capitalize on that. The community center project, as I mentioned before, is something that we hope to know more about in this next week to see how much we can progress in that. The Boys and Girls Club in Othello. This is huge. So really my conversation started trying to get a quote from someone in Moses Lake for a copy machine and for the grant that I applied for the community center project. So I call the place in Moses Lake and talk to the salesperson, and he said, well, tell me a little bit more about the Lighthouse. And I've heard the Boys and Girls Club mentioned so highly. I wasn't here during the time that it was operating, but I've heard so many good stories about it. He goes on to tell me that he is on the extension board of the Boys and Girls Club. Would you like to try and meet together sometime? So you just can't plan those kind of meetings, right? He ended up hooking me up with the main person for the Boys and Girls Club in Moses Lake. She organizes and runs all the way to Kittitas, Ephrata, Moses Lake. I went and visited her, ended up having a meeting, Zoom meeting, and ended up going to the Boys and Girls Club last Thursday and met with her and toured their facilities that they have. And so that started another meeting with RDI that RDI helped set up with someone who has access to some grants through, I think it's called Empire. I'd have to look at my notes, something foundation. Empire Health Foundation. They are supposed to be servicing Adams County, but but they haven't found a representative to connect with. And so we met last Friday on a Zoom meeting, and now they've connected me with someone who has capital funds available. And so I'm just taking it one step at a time, to be honest, but it's like, I can't plan these little meetings that are taking place. And so I'm just moving forward and seeing where it takes me. I am thoroughly impressed with the Boys and Girls Club, and I think that it'd be so utilized here in Othello. I don't know how that will roll out, and I'm just here to say that I'm being an instrument to see what the possibilities are and what's available. This last one, I'm sorry, I'm probably taking a loss. The asset mapping, this is something that that's huge. I got in contact with someone who's a grant writer on the East Coast. And one of the things that she said to start with is putting together an asset map. Basically, what I've been doing over the last few months of meeting with different organizations and seeing what we already have. So the asset map, it's about a 17-page document that leads you through steps in figuring out what's working in each community. And they actually even have you zone each of the communities. The idea behind it is having someone, let's say let's just use it because it's right here, the high school. This area right here, we would get those people in that community together, and we would find out who has some strengths that could help the rest of the community in the way of either teaching or advising or mentoring. So it's really getting to know what strengths you have in all of your different communities and then bringing those together. To me, it sounds overwhelming, but I think that if it's something that I can get some help and backup on, I'm willing to look into. This person who has gone through this program, they are able to bring in millions of dollars. And I could get you in contact with their organization, but I guess I'm here to say I would be willing to look into that. I think it would go hand in hand with a lot of what we're already looking at, like the community, the continuing partnerships, the community center project, the Boys and Girls Club. My idea is, again, going back to what we already have and capitalizing on that and drawing those strengths out. So, and that's where I'm at. Are there any questions, comments? Thank you. Anything else? Any questions? Okay, you know where to find me. Thank you.
Or be on our agenda is adopting ordinance 1613 creating relating to outdoor burning and chief.
The agenda a memo before the council tonight. It is adoption of an RCW relating to outdoor burning. This came to our attention after one of our officers actually used the citation utilizing the RCW. The RCW had not been adopted in the OMC. So we had to file in Adams County District Court rather than Othello Municipal Court. So the filing was complete and the court system continued. So this is just to make sure that we keep this tool for the officers and adopt it within the OMC.
So this is like illegal burning, like they don't call the fire department and get a permit.
Yes, that would fit too. The actual OMC, the actual RCW reads, no person shall cause or allow outdoor fires containing garbage, dead animals, asphalt, petroleum products, paint, rubber products, or any of the natural, other than natural vegetation. And so, yeah, it's for that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Okay. I'd make a motion to adopt a new municipal code section 8.06.140 relating to outdoor burning to adopt by reference RCWS 78.15.5010.
Lori, do you have any comment or you're fine with this? Lori, are you there? Must be muted. Well, she reviewed it.
Yeah, Mayor, that's what I wanted to add, that she assisted me in creating this.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The next item is approving an ordinance regarding design standard for utilities and sanitary sewers. We have our engineering tech, Cameron Williamson, to walk us through that tonight.
Evening, Council. So, this agenda item is presented to you due to RCW 173-240-30 that establishes that all modifications to a domestic wastewater facility must be submitted to and approved by the Department of Ecology, unless the local government agency has received approval of a general sewer plan and standard design criteria. The city of Othello does not have a general sewer plan. For the last 3 or 4 months, Sean O'Brien and I have been working on the general sewer plan, sending that to Department of Ecology and getting that approved and established. We have a series of design standards, our public works design standards. But in that, while developing the general sewer plan, this is one of the maps presented to you here. We have to map all of our existing sewer lines. Trunk lines, it's kind of hard to see here, but they're bolder. The smaller service lines, 8 inch and below, are thinner. The purple lines are the proposed trunk lines, ranging from 8 inch all the way up to 12 and 15 inch sewer lines. And with the lay of the land, we have some low spots, and that calls for sewer pump lift stations. We do not have any design standards regarding lift stations. And rather than developing our own or adopting design standards for lift stations from other cities, we have decided to have developers take those designs for lift stations when that development comes and submit that to DOE for review and approval. So this ordinance would simply put verbiage into chapter 16.29, stating that developers would have to submit those designs to DOE for review and approval. So staff recommends that council approves this ordinance and make a motion to approve.
Yeah, I just have one. So when you look at the second page of the deal, under the ordinance where we're adding this language, we selected 1629.320, and that's water supply, and that's where we added it. I would like to see a copy of the ordinance itself and see if there isn't something for sewers under the utilities. Because you got it under water supply.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bring it up. Bring the.
Can you bring that up, Spencer?
Yeah, the actual ordinance.
So if you go scroll down, no, go back up. It's under utilities water supply.
Right.
And you're rather making the statement that the lift station's design shall be. You're first of all, you're talking about domestic water supply coming into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about is what's going out of the house.
Correct.
So the, is there an article or a paragraph for sewer systems?
I am not sure. Sean O'Brien originally wrote this. I'm not sure if he overlooked it was water supply or if we don't have one relating to sewer. I will have to double check on that.
I mean, to make it right, I would not include it into water supplies. I would actually create another paragraph like 1629.321 that said sewer systems.
So Sean had given this ordinance to me and I had Hillary put it together. So
is it a mistake?
I'm not sure.
Can we still vote on it with it being a mistake? Because that's not really where it belongs, the underwater supply.
I wonder if we could still vote.
I mean, because
and then we can just give us permission to put that where it needs to be.
There's a bunch of chapters that relate to some sewer things, but I'm not sure if we're all under. I just pulled up.
Did you pull up the ordinance?
I just went into the ordinance that follows the municipal code and pulled up anything related to sewer. There's a whole list of chapters, but I'm not sure where it would fall in that. So I would say we just give them, we approve the content like Spencer says, approve the content and give them the permission to put it where it belongs.
But it shouldn't be permission.
It shouldn't
be permission because he's 100% right. Yeah. It should be. If you want to vote on it, it needs to say put into, because he's 100% right.
So
it should not be in water supply.
Back to us once you guys figure out.
Actually, Hillary's on the line. She can answer that question.
Hillary. Sure. I mean, you could move to amend it if you had the solution now, or you could just bring it back at the next meeting.
It doesn't sound like they have the solution right now, so I would say they just bring it back at the next meeting when they figure out where it needs to go.
That's what I think also.
Okay.
We'll bring one back that says what we
mean.
Yeah.
So I need somebody to table that.
I'll make a motion to table that until the next meeting.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carried. We're going to move to an ordinance about public nuisance, noise violation, and penalties.
Again, Council, thank you for having another agenda memo in front of you. What this agenda memo deals with is a change regarding the nuisance noise ordinance, and the change is that it makes it a civil infraction rather than a misdemeanor criminal offense. This was noticed over this last couple months when we're working with the new municipal code, and I found that it had changed into this criminal misdemeanor offense rather than the civil non-traffic infraction. And the bigger difference on here is preponderance of evidence versus probable cause. And so this makes it easier for the officers to write this infraction and easier to bring to court. And we're not gonna see a misdemeanor Othello municipal court warrant for noise. It would just be an FTA and they would double the fine. And so this seems to, in my opinion, makes the tool easier to use and easier to issue. And that was the reasoning for putting it on here. Other than that, the code remains the same.
And our council concurred?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the Othello Municipal Code 8.16.070, nuisance noise from misdemeanor criminal offense to non-traffic civil infraction.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you. So now, I'd like to move to executive session starting at 7:02 p.m. and that
Executive session will run until 7:35. And let me read the bill. Council will now adjourn 7:02 p.m. to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42-31-10-1D to review negotiations on the performance of the public school bid contract with public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause the likelihood of increased costs. Council will also consider, according to RCW 42-31-10-1D, consider the selection of a site for the acquisition of real estate by the lease or purchase. The executive session is expected to last until 7:35 p.m. No action will be taken during the executive session. No council action is expected after the executive session. Staff is prepared. The city council chambers for the executive session.
West. I'm not sure how to perform it. What is the part we finished? What's the standard of the name? No, you don't want to color it.
I didn't have name.
Or the noise coming from homes. We start at decibel level, but at any part of the time. 50 feet. Cars can be 50 feet or just a simple loud revving continuous stuff in order. It's the mufflers and the